So I don't know, have you ever heard this phrase? Maybe you've had somebody say this to you, and it's just a really, really simple phrase, and it's a really painful phrase to hear, but it's this, you can't get there from here. Anybody ever heard somebody say that to them? Oh my goodness. So we moved here in March of 2005, originally from Southwest Missouri, small little town, Carthage, about 11,000 people or so. And so we moved out here, and it was a few months into that that we had some really nice people here in the church. They said, hey, do you want to go to a Braves game and watch baseball? And this is still at Turner Field, okay? And so we're like, absolutely. And they're like, we'll watch your kids. You go. Just have a blast. So we went. We had a great time. I don't remember who they were playing. I don't remember if they won. It was 2005, so probably not. And so, so we went to the game, had a great time. And here's something you need to know about me. So I grew up going to Kansas City Royals games. And every time after leaving the stadium, my dad would have a near anxiety attack, panic attack, yelling at all of us, lock the doors, roll up the windows, all these kind of things. And he could never figure out how to get out of a stadium parking lot. Okay? And so that has just kind of been ingrained into me that I don't know how to get out of stadium parking lots. And so we're there at Turner Field, and so we're all in this great big long caravan trying to get out of there, and all the cars are turning right. And they're just going out this way, and it's like, but that doesn't feel right. And so they're going this way, and it's like, my mama always told me, don't just follow the crowd. And so I'm like, I'm going to follow my gut here, and instead of turning right out of Turner Field, I'm going to turn left and see if I can make my way home. Well, it didn't take me long to figure out that I had made a wrong turn, and this little boy from Carthage, Missouri, a town of 10,000 people, was like, I ain't in Kansas anymore, all right? And so there's something different over here. And so I was just panicked. It's like, oh my goodness, my kids are going to grow up orphans, and you know, their parents are going to end up dead. I'm never going to make it home. Now, some of you who are under the age of, you know, 30 or so, you're like, well, why didn't you just get your phone out and like do the little GPS thing? Because we didn't have that yet, right? We were just like Magellan and compasses is all we had at that point. So I turn left. Eventually, I find a liquor store to where there's a cop sitting outside of it. I almost needed a drink. But it's like, there's a cop sitting there. So I just pulled up to that guy. I was like, dude, I have no idea where I am. He's like, I can tell. And he's like, you need to do this, do this, do this. And so I finally got out of there, got onto the highway. I don't even know which highway I was on. And so I think I ended up on 85 North somehow. And so I'm like trying to get home driving on 85 North, which if you're good with directions, you know that's not going to happen. And so I had to get on the phone, call one of the seven people I knew here at the church. And I was like, I have no idea where I am. You got to tell me what to do. And you're like, well, where you are ain't going to work. All right. And so you do this, do this. And so finally, spoiler alert, we made it home. And, but it just kind of like, thank you, Delaine. I was going to say your name, but I didn't know if I could. I called Delaine. Delaine over there. I had my little Sony Ericsson phone, got on there, and I called her. I was like, I have no clue where I am. And she's like, you don't. And so you just do this, and this. And she got me home. Everybody give Delaine a hand. All right. I am alive because of Delaine. All right. So, and I'm still married. So that's great as well. But here's the thing. There is an important principle of life that this kind of just reveals to me, and it's this. Direction, not intention, determines the destination. Okay? So it's your direction, not your intention, that determines where you're going to end up in life. You can drive 85 North all you want, but you will never make it to Loganville, Georgia. It's just not going to happen. It doesn't connect up that way. And so it's our direction, not our intention. You can have all the great intentions in life, but if you're headed in the wrong direction, you're never going to end up where you want to end up. And here's something that I hold to dearly. It's this, that little in life is as important as finding purpose. There's very little things in life. There's very few things that is more important, that would be more important than discovering purpose. Because if you know that a certain experience in your life has a purpose, you can generally endure it. The flip side of it is, if you don't know that there is any purpose to that, and you can't see a purpose, any hardship, and it doesn't matter how small it is, can feel like pain and drudgery. And so I'm convinced that if you and I, if we could just get a hold of God's purpose for our lives, and if we could really get a sense for what He has planned for us, I believe it would completely shape, it would completely transform the way that you and I view life on this earth. It would transform what we end up doing with our blessings. It would transform how we view our pain. nothing would ever look the same again. And here's the thing. I know most people I talk to want to know what God's purpose is for their life. But so many people don't know where to begin. And where you begin determines where you're going to end. And so where should we start off trying to find God's purpose in our lives? Well, we should begin by asking the Creator what it is. So in this series that we're calling Searching, we're looking for significance, we're looking for purpose. That's what we're going to do. And I'll just give you a heads up. Today, I'm laying foundation work, okay? We're going to just kind of just like give a broad idea of what the purpose of life is. And then in the weeks to come, we're going to just get a little bit more specific about how this plays out in our lives as individuals. But we're going to begin with the Creator. We're going to ask the Inventor, what is our purpose? So I'm going to give you three passages of Scripture this morning as we start off here, just to begin and lay this foundation. The first is over in your New Testament. It's in the New Testament letter of Colossians, the Apostle Paul writing to the church in Colossae, chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. This is what it says. It says, "For through him," that him is Jesus, "God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world." Say this next word with me. Everything, everything was created through him and for him. Everything was created by God. Everything was created by him. He is the one who spoke it into existence. He is the creator of all things that we can see, things that we cannot see. So that means in the Milky Way, with all of its hundreds of billions of stars, in our little pocket of the universe, what is Paul saying? He is saying that Jesus, that God himself created it. He spoke it all into existence. Everything that is out here, everything that we can see, everything that we cannot see, God created it. And so that means that you and I were created by God. And that is a fundamental truth that really begins to help us to answer this question. So why on earth am I here? Does my life matter? And the answer is you matter because God created you. You have significance because the creator of the universe decided that he was going to shape you. He was going to form you. He was going to make you. And that gives you meaning. And so our highest purpose in this life is to be in a relationship with our creator. And you and I, we've been designed to glorify him with our lives. We were created by him and for him. So God is not just the starting point of your life. He is the source, the center, and the goal of your life. Another passage, if you take a left turn and you go over to the book of Ephesians, just a couple of pages. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11, here's what Paul says to the church in Ephesus. He says, "Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God, for he chose us in advance, and he makes everything work out according to his plan." We've been united with him. In other words, you discover your identity and your purpose through a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's where everything begins. And he chose you in advance. He was thinking of you long before you ever thought about him. So that means that the purpose of your life predates the conception of your life. He had a purpose for you before you were even conceived. So there are a lot of things in your life that you get to choose. You get to choose your hobbies. You get to choose your career. You get to choose relationships. But you don't get to choose your purpose. Because God created you for a purpose. Chapter 2, if you just go over just maybe one page in Ephesians, you have this incredible verse in verse 10. It says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." You are not your own handiwork. You are God's handiwork. And so your life is God's project. He thought you up, and he knows what you're intended to be. And that's the whole point of this series, is to discover that purpose, to find your significance. And so real quick, I want to take a real quick detour. I'm not turning left out of Turner Field here. We're going somewhere. Just a real quick detour. I want to just tell you why this matters so much. Okay, these are in your notes. So why purpose matters? So I got five reasons here. Five reasons why your purpose matters. Number one, whenever you know your purpose, it will give meaning to your life. And whenever you know life has meaning, you can bear almost anything. Without it, nothing is bearable. Without God, life has no purpose. And without purpose, life has no meaning. And without meaning, life has no significance. It has no hope. It gives meaning to your life. Here's the second thing. Knowing your purpose simplifies your life. It makes things more simple because it defines what you do and what you don't do. Your purpose becomes the standard by which you evaluate all of your decisions, all of your activities, what's essential, what is not. You simply ask, does this activity help me fulfill the one of God's purposes for my life? Number three, knowing your purpose focuses your life. It's very similar to simplifies, but it focuses it. And so it's going to concentrate your effort and your energy on what is important, and you become effective by being selective. So you're going to be able to focus your energy. So it's helping you answer these questions. So what are the things I should be doing? You got three buckets, okay? So bucket one is the thing that you were created to do. Bucket two is the things that you do to help you do what you were created to do. And then bucket three are those things that are urgent or important or maybe even things that people expect you to do. Knowing your purpose is going to help you stay in bucket one and bucket two more than you are in bucket three. Because the problem for many of us is we spend too much time in bucket three, right? We want to be in bucket one and bucket two. Knowing your purpose, number four, motivates your life because purpose produces passion. Nothing will energize you like a clear purpose. In fact, whenever passion fades, it causes you, it's generally because you lack purpose in your life. Whenever you're struggling to get out of bed in the morning, it's generally because it's still dark. But the other reason is because you lack purpose. And whenever you lack purpose, even just getting out of bed is a chore. Number five, knowing your purpose prepares you for eternity. Ultimately, what matters most isn't going to be what people say about you, but what God says about you. Everything that you and I, that we achieve here, will eventually be surpassed. Your name may go up in the trophy case at your school, but eventually somebody's going to go past that. My name's in a trophy case at the college I went to. It's nothing impressive, but I think it's, I don't even know that it's out anymore. And it reminded me, I was thinking about that this week, and it reminded me of a story I heard about James Dobson, the guy who founded Focus on the Family, and he was a tennis player, and while he was in college, his goal was, I want to become a tennis champion. I want to become the best tennis player that my school has ever had. I want to win the championship, and so he worked hard, he played, he practiced, he worked hard, and before he graduated college, he was the champion. He won, he got a trophy, they put it in the big trophy case at the school so everybody could see, you know, James Dobson, tennis champion. It was just a great achievement. Well, it was years and years later that trophy was delivered to his house in the mail. And it was a note from someone, and they just said, hey, we found this in a trash can because the school was just recently remodeling. We thought you may want it. And this is what James said. He said, given enough time, all your trophies will be trashed by someone else. Why? Because you weren't put on this earth to be remembered. You were put here to prepare yourself for eternity. Listen to Romans chapter 14. It says this, remember, we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For the scriptures say, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bend to me and every tongue will declare allegiance and praise to God. Yes, each of us will give a personal account to God. Every single person, if you're in this room, if you're watching online, even if you're not, every single person who walks the face of this earth someday will have to give a personal account to God, and you're going to be asked two questions. What did you do with my son, Jesus Christ? And number two, what did you do with everything I gave you? The relationships, the opportunities, the resources, what did you do with that? The answer to question one determines where you'll spend eternity. The answer to question number two determines what you will do for eternity. And whenever you know your purpose, you will be prepared for eternity. So, what do we need to know in order to determine our purpose? Let's end with this. Number one, God has a purpose for you, but it's not about you. Turn to your neighbor and just say, it's not about you. Maybe the best thing that you feel all day long. All right, just turn to him and say, it's not about you. All right, it's not about you. Yeah, God has a purpose for you, but it's not about you. You know the greatest theological truth that any of us will ever learn? It's very simple. It's that there is a God and it is not me. It's the most important theological truth anybody knows. It's where everything begins. And if you were to click on one of the 81 million results whenever you Google what is the meaning of life, you're going to find a lot of similarities between a lot of them. I mean, there's going to be so much that's there. It's going to be like, well, you need to consider your dreams, clarify your values, you know, set some goals, figure out what you're good at, aim high, go for it, you know, be disciplined, believe you can do it, involve others with it, and all those things. Those are great, great recommendations. I mean, they really, really are, and it will often lead to great success. And you can usually succeed in reaching a goal if you put your mind to it. But here's the truth that you need to remember. Being successful and fulfilling your life's purpose are not always the same thing. They're not the same thing. Because you can reach all of your personal goals. You can have that little goal board or that goal paper, you know, up on the mirror. You can look at it every single day. You can become an incredible success by the world standard and still miss the purposes for which God created you to be. Because you need more than just self-help advice. Matthew chapter 16, Jesus has a famous saying, and it's this: if you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you'll save it. I love the way that Eugene Peterson paraphrases it in The Message whenever he says it like this. He says, self-help is no help at all. Self-sacrifice is the way, it's my way to finding yourself, your true self. Friend, if nobody's ever told you this, then I want to be the first one to tell you. If you've heard this before, I want to remind you of it today. Jesus Christ has not come to rearrange the outside of your life to the way that you want it to be. He comes to rearrange the inside of our lives to the way that God wants them to be. And it's whenever you and I, whenever we surrender to him, whenever we let go and we say, not my way, but your way, but not my will, but your will be done, that is whenever we begin to discover our purpose for life. Because the ultimate purpose is not about you. You exist for God's glory. I exist for God's glory. Every person who has been created, every person you meet, and every person you have ever met, they exist for God's glory. Even the creation itself cries out. Psalm 19:1 says that the heavens declare the glory of God. And this is not easy for us to grasp. We struggle with this. Because our default setting, those of you who have raised kids, let me just ask you a question. Did you ever have to teach your kid the word mine? It's like they just kind of like come out of the womb just like, mine, 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 mine. It's just that default setting that you like need to turn off in the settings. It's just like right there. It's like, ooh, I don't want that happening. But that's exactly the way we are. We're all created with this default setting to where it's mine. It's about me. It's about me. It's about me. But the truth is, the more concerned you are about your fulfillment, the less fulfilled you're going to be. If you're going to discover God's purpose for your life, you have to have a revolution of the soul take place to where you understand, oh, the world doesn't revolve around me. We have to learn that. Jesus Christ did not come to be an important planet in your solar system. He came to be the center of it. God has a purpose for you, and it's not about you. God has a purpose for you, and it's mostly about what he's doing in you. He has a purpose for you, and it's mostly about what he's doing in you. See, our refuge and our faith has to be in God, and especially whenever life seems unfair, knowing that he is doing something in us. There's a lot of us, we've walked into this room today, or maybe you're watching online, and we've got this belief that if life isn't all sunshine, rainbows, and puppy dogs, you know, that means that God is upset with me, God's mad at me, and he's taking things out on me. But here's the thing, God is more interested in making you holy than he is happy. He created you for a purpose to do good work in you. Through you. You go back to that Ephesians chapter 2 passage in verse 10. It says, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. He says, we are his handiwork. The most important task in life is not what you do, but who you become. You may have heard of Michelangelo. Before he became a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle, he was an artist. And he said this. He said, "In every block of marble I see a statue as plain as though it stood before me, shaped and perfect in attitude and action. I have only to hew away the rough walls that imprison the lovely apparition to reveal it to the other eyes as mine see it." Speaking of his carving David, he said, "I saw the angel in the marble and carved it until I set him free." Michelangelo didn't see what the marble was. He saw what the marble would be. He saw a masterpiece. And friend, that is how God sees you along every step of the path to your destiny, because you are his masterpiece. You're his workmanship. That word workmanship is the Greek word poema, which is where we get our English word poem. It means work of art, masterpiece. And so that means that you are that which has been made as a work of God. Hear me today. You weren't created on an assembly line. God handcrafted you. He went to work whenever he created you. He didn't make you as this like this random object just thrown together to fill up space and time. Whenever he made you, he went to work. He was intentional. And delicately, he crafted your personality, the way that you look, your passions, your skills. He even allowed your imperfections, planted dreams in you, all to create a magnificent piece of art. You're his masterpiece. You are God's handiwork. And he has a purpose for you. He has a purpose for you. And if you surrender to it, he will fulfill it. If you'll just surrender to it, he will fulfill the purpose. So what is the purpose that we need to surrender to? It's very simple. Doesn't mean it's easy, but it is simple. Romans chapter 11, verse 36, it says this, "For everything comes from him and exists by his power and is," say that last phrase with me, "and is intended for his glory." What's the purpose? It's actually him. It is to bring glory to God himself. Everything that exists, all of creation, you, me, everyone, God made it all for his glory. What is his glory? It is who he is. It's the essence of his nature. It's the weight of his importance, the radiance of his splendor. It's the demonstration of his power. It is his presence. His glory is the expression of his goodness and all his other eternal qualities. And you and I, we were intended for that glory. So why are we here? Why are you on this earth? Very simple. It is to bring him glory. That is your purpose. And I know that may sound super, super simple. It may sound just like, oh man, there's got to be more to it. But this is your most basic purpose in life. It is to bring glory to God, the creator who made you, who said, "You are my masterpiece." Listen to Isaiah 43. It says this, "For I have made them for my glory." It was I who created them. C.S. Lewis would say, in commanding us to glorify him, God is inviting us to enjoy him. John Piper would say, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. Here is the irony of it all. It is only when you say, I don't want to be the center of the universe, that God will reorder all things in the universe to fulfill his purpose in you. If you make yourself the center of the universe, nothing will ever work for you. But if you make him the center, he will work to fulfill his purposes in you. He has a purpose for you. He wants to use you to exalt his name in this earth so that you would trust him more and that you would be able to help others trust him as well. His purpose is that you would be able to pray, God, glorify your name
through me in whatever I face. So we're going to spend the rest of our time, the next 4 weeks, what does this look like on a day-to-day, weekly basis? But let me leave you today with your bottom line. It's this: you cannot arrive at your purpose if you begin with yourself. Because where you begin determines where you're going to end. And if you begin with yourself, you're going to end in a place of disappointment. But if you begin with Him, you will begin to discover the purpose He has for your life. So here's my challenge to you this week, is I want you to wrestle through this. What is one way that you're going to glorify God this week? He's given you resources. He's given you relationships. He's given you opportunities. What is one way you're going to do it? Maybe it's an opportunity to be generous with someone. Maybe it's just like, you know what? I'm going to make sure that I've got a chance to invite my one and just say, hey, I'm going to do that. Maybe it's something else. Whatever it is, you're smart people. You'll figure this out. What is one way that you're going to glorify God this week? What's one way? So where do we see God's glory best? Let's just wrap up with this. The answer is, you're in church, so you know the answer. It's in Jesus. Hebrews chapter 1 says this, that the Son is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word. And after He had provided purification for sin, He sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. Jesus Christ came to this earth so that you and I would know exactly what God is like. We would know exactly who He is. We would know how He behaves. And what did we learn through Jesus? Is that our God so desperately wants a relationship with you that He was willing to give Himself up for you. And so He gave Himself up. He went to the cross. He died a brutal death. He was buried in a grave, and 3 days later, He was brought back to life. And He took what we deserved so that we could have God and that we could have relationship with Him, so that you and I could finally be able to say, this is my purpose in life. And what He asks us to do is to simply surrender to Him. And it is through surrender that we find that He's not asking us anything close to what He gave up for us. He's just asking for you to lay down your ego, surrender to Him, say, I've been living for myself. I want to live for you now. And if you're watching online, today is a great day to make that decision if you've never done that. We want to invite you to visit the website on the screen. If you're in the room, and if you would honestly say that I've been living for myself, I haven't surrendered to Him, and I've begun with me, and I'm here at this place, and I see that this is probably why I'm dissatisfied, well, the path to fulfillment is going to begin whenever you say yes to Jesus. And so if you're ready to do that in the room, I want you to grab your connection card, say you're ready to begin a relationship with Him. Hand it off to an usher as you're leaving this morning. And let's begin finding purpose in your life. So, Father God, we thank You so much that You are a God who loves us and cares for us, and that You have a plan for our lives. And so over the next few weeks, God, we're asking that You would help us to discover this, to find significance, to find purpose, and to be able to live life the way that You have created us to do, bringing glory and honor to You and You alone. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.